Musicologist. Welcome to Amari Music Talk. I'm Richard Cole, and this is the podcast that is always on the one. All right, so today I want to talk about musicology. I want to give this album equal time. So let's dive right on in and talk about this fantastic album. So it's 2004, so that makes this the 20th anniversary here in 2024. We know we've got the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain. I know I'm excited. I don't know what's going to drop. Are we getting a box set? I know we got rumors of the movie getting a 4K release, so I'm excited about that. There is a commemorative book by Andrea Swenson. We're getting that, and I'm excited about that. But I thought I would give this album equal time because this was kind of tied into, at the time, the 20th anniversary of Purple Rain. So, you know, I mean, you know, what does Prince do? Back in 2004, gave Purple Rain a brief acknowledgement on the Grammys, doing a medley of Purple Rain hits with Beyonce. Then he goes on to get his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Then he drops this fantastic album and then goes on probably what was the biggest tour that he's had in quite a long time up until that point. So, well, but before we really dive in to this album, be sure to download, if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure you like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, that way you get updates on future episodes. Also, become a Patreon supporter as well, trying to build that up. Become a subscriber. You get early access to content, bonus material as well. So definitely jump on board. Right. So Musicology was released on March 28th of 2004, peaked at number 3 on the U.S. Billboard charts, and was pretty much top 5 in other countries as well. Kind of became his most successful album since Diamonds and Pearls. And I know, you know, a lot of us that's deeply entrenched in the fan base, you know, it's that thing of don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Even I think he's mentioned that. But, you know, in terms of the mainstream audience, you know, I remember, you know, albums, whether it's the Gold Experience, the Rainbow Children, you know, I would get excited about those things and be like, yeah, Prince is coming out with a new album, and people would go, Prince is still around? What? You know, so, I mean, there are people that exist like that. Like I said, it's the mainstream. You know, they're not the deep cut fans like we are, and that's quite all right. But 2004 was that year that reminded that mainstream of who Prince was. And I think this is the beginning of Prince becoming that elder statesman as well, and becoming that legacy artist, and, you know, owning it and accepting it. So, you know, this was an exciting time. I know I, you know, this is a year that I look back fondly. You know, especially coming off of 2003, you know, I had lost my grandmother that year. You know, so it was just kind of little, just that kind of gray feeling. But then 2004, and, you know, when you talk about music or you talk about specific artists and why we, you know, what they give us as far as, you know, sharing their talents with us, you know, something like, you know, I was joining the MP, I think I joined the MPG Music Club that year, 2004, just prior to all the musicology stuff. And, you know, just the excitement of being part of that club and, you know, meeting the different people online with that. And then, you know, the different releases, the downloads, and like I said, you know, the hype building up to this album as well, and the tour. you know, that was just, you know, it made 2004 really, really great year for me. So, you know, I've got some fond memories. You know, I'll discuss some of that a little bit later, but let's get back to the statistics of musicology. It, you know, like I said, quickly proved to be his most successful album since Diamonds and Pearls, reaching top five in the United States, United Kingdom, Germany, you know, and making a huge impact in charts all over the planet, just about. You know, the reviews were mostly positive for this album. I'm only going to pick out two with this, and I'll interject kind of my own thoughts in this as well. But one of the reviews, maybe not the most positive in the world, but this was a Pitchfork interview from that year. This was by Dominique Leone. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. So these are some of the takeaways from that review. The most interesting moments on musicology come when Prince either hits on a good concept, like the rich white girl who can't dance, paying out for the funk in Illusion, Coma, Pimp, and Circumstance, or drops the pretense of keeping the party going all together. Today, slow jams are his forte. The Infidelity Warning, What Do You Want Me to Do, beats Phoenix at their own game with smoother than smooth vocals and a breezy chorus that would seem close to the book on anyone else attempting light jazz pop in the future. Call My Name is hardly as distinct, but is a perfectly functional slab of Loverman soul along the lines of Marvin Gaye. Typically, Prince saves his best moves for the chorus. He's still pop through and through, as his layered harmonies impart the rather straightforward admission. I know it's only been 3 hours, but I love it when you call my name. And yeah, I mean, Illusion, Coma, Pimp, and Circumstance for me wasn't quite my favorite track. But I love What Do You Want Me to Do, because that, you know, especially him bringing back the Lynn drum machine on quite a few tracks on this album. To me, that was one of the highlights. To me, it was like Last Heart Part 2. Although Last Heart didn't really use the Lynn, though. But that mood, that tempo, was kind of along those lines. Call My Name is definitely my favorite. And really amongst my favorite Prince ballads of his as well. Then he goes on to say, A Million Days has the structure of a good Prince rock ballad, but the sound of half-finished demo. I don't agree with that, but, you know, it's music is subjective. The synth that powers the opening sounds piped in from a home studio built about 20 years ago, and even then, it's not loud enough. You know, again, music is subjective. And two, you know, depending on what type of system you're playing it on, like then, you know, CDs were still dominant. We were just kind of in the infancy of digital downloads. So, you know, the MP3 was sort of the, you know, the dominant. So if you're listening on a download, especially at that time, you know, yeah, the quality is not going to be that great. But again, depending on what type of CD system you have, whether it's in your car, your home, back in 2004 or both, you know, then, you know, you might have some better results. I really didn't have a problem with the sound of A Million Days, but I do get with Paisley Park, to me, there are significant number of recordings that just, to me and my personal taste, I always felt were a bit too polished. You know, I prefer, you know, the Kiowa Trails sound, the Sunset sound, and that just that kind of rawness, you know, from, you know, like Controversy 1999 the first two Time albums. I kind of dig that sort of rawness in the recording. But I think kind of once you got to the later 80s, like 89, 90, getting into the 90s and forward, yeah, sometimes the production to me was a bit just too polished, a little too much sheen. But, it didn't take away from my enjoyment of the music or anything like that. But I disagree with his assessment of A Million Days, but I do understand the point. Yeah, his guitar and vocals are lavishly spread all over the mix, but the drums are too soft and muddy. So ultimately, his track comes out like a bad Lenny Kravitz throwaway. Elsewhere, Life of the Party and the title track suggests nothing in Prince's life these days was born this century. Not only does he waste valuable time on the former making fun of Michael Jackson, but the track is mired in stale funk, a notch below the Martin theme. Now that's, damn, that's kind of cold. Yeah, I mean, Life of the Party, to me, I prefer the live version. Even though live, it's, James Brown's hot pants that they're playing live underneath, I like that. Now, granted, maybe it would have been too easy to sample that or do a, live band interpolation of that. It would have been too easy. And I can understand Prince going for the, obvious of trying to make it as original as possible. But I would have preferred if he was going to be as original as possible, maybe not necessarily, again, taking the groove of Hot Pants, but that tempo, that feel, and that energy. I think the live version far surpasses the studio version. But again, it's not a bad song, and it doesn't take away from my enjoyment of that album. So, the next review is from Rolling Stone, again from 2004, and this is by Anthony DeCurtis. And again, just kind of some of the takeaways instead of reading the entire review. Here he says it's open, easygoing, and inclusive, the sort of album anyone might like. Most notably, Musicology restores a refreshing sense of songcraft to Prince's writing. Rather than seeming like mere sketches, as so much of his recent work has, each track on the album is distinct, coherent, and rigorously uncluttered. Whether it's a bluesy lament, such as On the Couch, a lovelorn meditation, like A Million Days, or a stop time jam, such as If I Was the Man in Your Life. And the singer makes it clear that he has learned that rigor from the masters. Wish I had a dollar for every time you say, don't you miss the feeling that music gave you back in the day? He sings over an insinuating bass line on the title track. Now 45, Prince realizes and repeatedly declares that his tastes are old school. On Reflection, one of the several ballads that float by on a sweet musical breeze reminiscent of Stevie Wonder, memory sweeps Prince away. Remember all the way back in the day when we would compare whose afro was the roundest. Moments like this rescue Prince from his eccentricities and make him recognizable again. So this was a more positive review coming from Rolling Stone, and probably the most positive in a number of years. Yeah, I kind of remember quite a few releases like New Power Soul not getting a good review. Can't remember what the reviews for Rainbow Children were, but yeah, this was definitely, strong support for this album from the magazine at this point. Again, most of the other reviews were positive reviews and some of the strongest in a long time. And like I said, this was a great album. I have a video, that I did a while back, called, the 20, 21st Century Prince albums. Did a ranking, you can check that video out. And yeah, musicology is pretty high. It is one of my favorites, and I do consider it a 21st century classic. Like I said, so many great memories. Like I said, I remember, again, signing up for the MPG Music Club. And I mean, just that website, that was kind of like where, websites were kind of gaining in that popularity, and they were starting to evolve a little bit and become even more interactive and more user-friendly, and giving you more bang for your buck. And especially with that club, that was ahead of its time. Before, you had things like Napster at that time, iTunes hadn't come up yet. It hasn't started yet. I can't remember. I don't even think Amazon, no, not even Amazon Music, was around at that point, so he was definitely ahead of his time with that club. And I remember, like I said, I think one of my first, I think hearing about this was they released the track where you could go and mix it yourself, kind of create your own little musicology mix. And it was just the instrumental, no vocals or anything like that. But I don't know, I tried it. I didn't have quite the sophisticated computer back then. So it was like I tried it, and I don't know, I don't think I came up with anything that was award winning, or I can't remember if there was even a contest. If anybody else was part of that club, leave me a comment, let me know if there was a contest. But long story short, yeah, I wasn't nowhere near, winning the contest for that. Getting the preferred seating tickets, for $70, and got second row for that. Oh, I wish I still had my ticket too. But yeah, definitely it was, second row. Enjoy going to that. I remember prior to that, going to one of the Regal theaters to see the sort of simulcast of the show in LA, the opening night of the tour. And that was fun, and it was wasn't quite a packed house, but there were quite a few Prince fans that, they came and they represented, and it filled enough of it to where, it was like being at the concert practically. That was a lot of fun. Trying to think what else was there. Like I said, the show itself. Also getting, both at the Regal Theater and also the actual concert. Getting the free copy of Musicology, which I no longer have either one of those. This was actually a replacement from my original CD from back in the day, because I had all three. I had the two from the two shows, and then in between got the actual album. So, and like I said, this got much play. I also even made a playlist, or CD. I burned a CD, to which my playlist included selections from this, selections from Slaughterhouse, selections from Chocolate Invasion, the virtual B-sides, Magnificent, which, they just dropped that on streaming. And that, from this era here, that is one of my favorite songs from that era. And it's a crime that it's not on the album, actually, instead of being a virtual B-side. But that was cool too, because in this sort of digital age, the CD age, there were no longer B-sides, so it was cool kind of getting that feeling back too, but in a 21st century form, the virtual B-side. So that was a lot of fun, getting those as well. So yeah, So from there, let's go ahead and talk about tracks, just kind of give my, brief thoughts, memories, impressions of it. Musicology, I thought was a pretty good track. I think to me, yeah, Prince probably could have come out with something a little bit heavier, a little bit stronger, to make a heavier statement. But like I said, he's at that, he's now legacy artist. He's now, elder statesman. And, every artist kind of goes through this thing. You get your quote unquote your classic period. Now, pay attention whether you're, second, third, fourth generation fans of this, because, even the contemporary music you're listening to now, it's going to happen to your favorite artists too. Even Taylor Swift is going to happen to her eventually. And there's this period where you get your, in your 20s to your 30s, you get this period where you just can't do any wrong. This becomes your classic period. Then, kind of when you hit your 40s, going into your 50s, then there's this little bit of a drop. There's this little bit of a drop off, and only your most diehard fans are going to be your support. Or, if touring, if you, is able to sustain you, then you can go on tour and survive off of doing your hits. And then that mainstream, they may not be checking out your new one, but they'll show up for that concert. Now, the downside is when you get ready to do, hey, I'm going to do this song off my new album, and that's when everybody kind of runs to the bathroom, or they go get a beer, they go get something to eat. And then, when you finish your doing your tracks from the new album, and then you go right back into your hits, and they come running back. And that's just the nature of the, that's just the nature of things. And you see, like, I've seen this with Prince, I've seen this with Paul McCartney, I've seen this with quite a few, even Bob Dylan, George Clinton, to where, there was always a consistency. But there was something that just wasn't clicking with everyone. It was probably clicking with, again, the most diehard fans, but it just wasn't clicking with the mainstream. Or, it was always something. And like I said, you kind of hit that period, your 40s, your 50s. And then, like I said, some like Prince, like I said, like Paul McCartney, kind of when they did hit their 50s, they kind of found this balance to where, like, okay, elder statesman, legacy artist. Or they found this kind of creative rebound where, they figured it out. It's like, okay, well, I'm not trying to compete with my classic period, but I know what elements of that classic era to take and put in just enough of it to kind of draw you in, and then have that balance of what worked for you then, kind of with what, you're trying to do now, and whether that's integrating contemporary sounds with it, not, trying to sound like you're having a midlife crisis, but you understand how today's music works, and you know how to balance it and craft great songs and have the songs stand on their own. And like I said, Prince to me figured it out with this album, and to me really figured it out with Artificial Age, but that's another topic for another day. But again, getting back to musicology, I kind of like the little James Brown nod. And when you watch the video, it makes more sense why. Because that video, it shows, where they have the actor playing Prince as, a kid, riding his bike to the record store. And we've heard that story from him where, every time James Brown came out with a single, he'd be on his bike, pay his hard-earned money, get that single, put it on the handlebars and ride home and drop it on the turntable. And, and like I said, James Brown was, he was the godfather, So it makes more sense having that. And then with James Brown being the foundation of funk, the originator of funk, along with Prince name checking, Sly Stone, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I mean, even as later as Chuck D with Public Enemy, bringing that element in. So it makes more sense of a song to me post video because of that. But, you know, on its own terms, like I said, I think, you know, if he came back with something like with the Lindrum and, you know, found a way to make it contemporary or something like a Black Sweat to me, you know, if he had come out with something like that as bam, you know, I'm back. But considering the momentum that was built with the Grammys, the momentum with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Musicology, perfect try. All right, so the next one, Illusion, Coma, Pimp, and Circumstance. Like I said, it wasn't my favorite track on the album, and it's one that even now I still kind of struggle with. To me, the saving grace on this track is the rhythm guitar at the end of the track. You know, when it kind of goes into that little funky vamp at the end, you know, and it's, you know, getting ready to fade out. That kind of saves the song for me. But I mean, you know, it's Prince's sense of humor. You know, that's one thing I'm glad has never changed, you know, regardless of what philosophy he adopted or what religion he adopted, he still managed to keep that sense of humor. So that's intact in this song. And it's not a bad song. And there are people that are fans of this song, and that's cool. But yeah, not one of my favorites. But when I listen to the whole or the entirety of the album, then I don't skip it either. You know, it's like I'm on that journey, I'm on that ride, and I do look forward to the rhythm guitar part at the end. And then the next one, A Million Days, it is one of my favorites on the album. Like I said, you know, regardless of what the review said, you know, I disagree. I mean, I'll listen to it again and pick out the more technical complaints about it, but I love the track, you know, so there. And I wish we can get the video, you know, officially released. And again, Life of the Party, again, with that one, I wish it had the energy, the tempo, the feel of the live version as opposed to the studio version. I prefer the studio version, but I mean the live version. But again, I don't skip it. I listen to it and I enjoy it for what it is. And it's still, you know, it's still funky on its own terms. But I just would have preferred, like I said, more of an energy to that. And then that goes right into Call My Name. So that would be my second favorite. And there's no real order to this. I'm just going in order of the track listing. But, you know, definitely one of my favorite ballads by Prince. One of my favorite tracks on this album. I love the lyrics. I love the video. It's a winner. Cinnamon Girl, which I think at first a lot of people thought he was covering. I think it's Neil Young. I think he has a song called Cinnamon Girl, and people thought that this was a cover of that, but it's an original composition. And, you know, it's, I guess you could say it's a political song. You know, this is definitely, you know, it's post 9/11. You know, here we are, it's 2004. So you're just, you know, not even, you know, it's on 3 years since then. And, you know, a lot of that is still in our memories at the time. And it, the wounds are still fresh and the shock is still fresh. And the world is changing, trying to figure out what kind of world we're going to be after something like that. And, you know, this song, you know, it addresses, you know, that it addresses, you know, hate, and it addresses ideologies and things of that nature. And it's a strong track, and the video to me wasn't bad. I don't know, I haven't seen it in a long time, I haven't watched it in a long time, but I didn't have a problem with the video. And it's quite a nice, it's a nice song. I enjoy the song. Next would be my third favorite track on the album, is that, and that's What Do You Want Me to Do? And again, it's, you know, it's good songwriting. Again, I love the lyrics to it. You know, the music, the melody, the arrangement, the Lynn drum machine is probably my favorite part that makes the song. I can't really hear this song if those drums weren't in it. You know, I probably wouldn't even enjoy it as much. But it's vintage Prince, it's classic Prince, but it's now, you know, it's 2004. And I think what it, what it is, I think that, yeah, now he's at this legacy stage, and he's become a little more sophisticated musically, and yeah, and going in different directions, and not only challenging us, but challenging him himself. So, we're not going to get the type of funk from 1999 or DMSR or, or Head or anything. It's kind of a different lane. As much as, we would have preferred, if you're going to go and be in this mature direction, why not take something that had that feel? And not necessarily lyrically, go back to being 20, 17 or whatever. Don't go back, but find a way to have that sound and have it be as fresh as today and show off the maturity in your lyrics with that. But yeah, what do you want me to do is kind of the perfect example of that. The blending of classic and new. And then next we have The Marrying Kind and If I Was the Man in Your Life. Those two songs, to me, they're kind of back and back to back, because they kind of segue. So to me, it always felt like one entire song instead of two different songs. I thought, it's kind of like a like an opera or a theater thing, where it's start off with the one song and then you segue into the next one. I thought it was something like that. But again, I don't skip them, but I do struggle with listening to it. Like, I don't rank them as my favorites. And then the same with On the Couch. I know a lot of people enjoy that one, but I don't know. It's not, like Call My Name is such the superior ballad on this album that I don't know. Maybe if Call My Name wasn't on this, then I would enjoy On the Couch better. But again, it's the sense of humor. I love the Love Jones reference, and which I think might have been an inspiration for this track. But it is a good ballad, and there are a lot of fans of this ballad. I've heard the live version of it, I think. And I enjoy it, but like I said, Call My Name is the better ballad. So having that fresh in your mind, and then you going into something like that, it's yeah. And then we have Dear Mr. Man, which I enjoyed this track. Again, political statement, because like I said, we're this is that age where, like I said, there's uncertainty. I mean, it's post 9/11. You've had the Iraq war that just kicked off in 2003, and then of course Afghanistan. So you're fighting all, there's all these wars on all these different fronts, and and it's kind of just the beginning of this recession, which kind of hit its peak in 2008, and we're all trying to figure out what's happening. It's kind of like, it seems like we couldn't imagine things being even worse, but hell, if you would have gone back in time and showed people 2020 or 2016 and just all the stuff that we're dealing with now, that like I said, we got a long way to go, to get to peace and love and harmony. But then, like I said, those were just as uncertain times as the times that we're living in now. And again, this is one of those songs, it's kind of Prince's sort of kind of what's going on influenced track. And I think, it's just as relevant now as it was back in 2004. And it's a track that I do enjoy listening to. And then the final track is again one of my absolute favorites of this album, and that's Reflection. And I remember prior to this album coming out, the famous Tavis Smiley interview, which capped off with Prince and Wendy on acoustic guitars performing the song live. And I think that made me want, really want to get this album, because you kind of had Musicology. That was, in heavy rotation, at least video wise. I don't know what it was doing on radio, but you know, the video was getting a lot of airplay and stuff. And you know, like I said, the hype, you know, from the, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Grammys, you know, just all the hype building, the tour building, the momentum, you know. So it was like, oh, and again, this is, you know, to me, this is classic era Prince too, you know. This is where, but it's now, you know, like this could have easily had been on Parade, and it could easily come out now and still have an impact, you know, on Prince fans. Because, you know, it's just that great of a song. And it's really, to me, one of the few tracks that I think he really became an open book. There's very few times, you know, where, yeah, you could say in his music, you can kind of guess like, oh, well, we know what he's feeling, we know what he's thinking, or we can figure out who he is based on this song or that song. But most of those, they're really kind of, you know, you kind of got the imagery and the poetry, and, you know, you kind of got to do some detective work. You know, it's kind of like going through hieroglyphics, trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we get to know him through this song? And to me, I think this is one of the ones that I think he became more of an open book. And I'm glad this was on the album. And it's a good ending to the album as well. So that's musicology. I'm going to have to get this on vinyl one of these days, and maybe do a comparison on this. But yeah, definitely, you know, this is back in print, so you can get the CD, you can get the vinyl. You know, by all means. Like I said, I really wanted to give this equal time. So let me know what you think about musicology. Is it your favorite? One of your favorites? Leave me a comment and let me know your thoughts. And that's going to end this episode of Amari Music Talk. Again, if you're on your favorite podcast platform, feel free to download. Also, if you are on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and also become a Patreon supporter. So, and until the next time, create your day. Create your life. Peace. The last beat, to the last bass, to the last band we funk.